Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Cullen Steele running things behind the scenes. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, former Nichols State Colonel pitcher, also pitched in the major leagues, member of the Bayou Region Hall of Fame, which we attended last week. Scott, that was a great time. It always is. Scott Sanders. Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, my brother. Thanks for having me.
Scott, we talked about it before the season. This team had a shot, legitimately had a shot. And you were one to bring up that, hey, when you can pitch and you got really good defense, you are always going to have an opportunity to win a national championship. That's exactly what happened here at LSU.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Obviously, what Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson did at the top of the rotation, both winning 12 games and only losing 3 games between them. I mean, that's your recipe for an amazing year. And then the defense behind them. I mean, I'll be honest, this is probably the best defensive team I can remember in LSU history. I'm sure if you look at the numbers, I'm sure it backs it up. I'm not saying somewhere back in the day maybe, but I tell you what, those guys, between the two guys up the middle, only had like 6 errors all year. In the third baseman, Braswell might have had 2 or 3 as well.
Just, that's unreal.
You know, less than 10 errors. That's impossible. And they're playing on natural surface, you know, half the time, actually over half the time at Alex Box. They're not playing on turf. Those are numbers that you see on turf.
Yeah. One of the things I remember you bringing up before the season, you weren't sure about how quickly he had come back from the Tommy John surgery, because sometimes that's an injury. And then talking to people, you know, in the orthopedic group and to people that I know that are the doctors there for Ortho LA. So about Tommy John surgery, you never know exactly when you sort of kind of hit the stride. Man, did Chase Shores make him some money late in the year or what?
Yeah, that's a fact. You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, the hardest thing. So I didn't have Tommy John surgery. I came very close to having Tommy John surgery back in 1994, and it was the middle of the season. So I just rehabbed it to try to beat it because I was going to miss the next season anyway. And, you know, for whether you had it or you didn't, the hardest thing when you have an injury is sometimes getting out there and trusting your arm to actually throw the baseball without thinking, like, is this going to hurt again? You know, there's so many hurdles that you have to jump over, and it's hard enough to get guys out pitching anyway. But then you start putting doubt in your mind, and then you got to get your mechanics back. You got to, you know, your arm slot may change because you haven't thrown a baseball for 6 months, and then you rehab. And when you do rehab, you're starting at 25%, 50%, 75%, and your arm angle may change. So many things can change, but, man, Chase Shores was, I don't know if you remember, a couple weeks ago I said he was one of the guys that had to step up, and yep, man, did he step up. You know, yesterday, 27 pitches, 22 strikes, and when I tell you he was throwing bowling balls in there, he was throwing bowling balls, you know, at 101, 99, and I'm excited for him because the kid works hard. He's been through a lot, and boy, I'll be honest, I don't know if he'll be back now because of this last little run, but if he doesn't, man, thank him for the time he put in.
Yeah, Scott, the way I look at it, I think the way he finished the year, I thought after the regular season, he might be better off coming back another year. After he pitched down the stretch, I think we've maybe watched the last pitch of Chase Shores in an LSU uniform.
100%. And his problem is when he struggled, his slider wasn't in the zone or wasn't a swing and a miss. Anytime he can throw a competitive slider at, you know, in counts, lights out. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, he left the ball up, a guy just stuck his bat out, shot at the right field for a single. We give up singles. Nobody cares about singles, right? You just don't want to give up 3 or 4 in a row. But when he has that slider working and he has confidence in it and it spins, starts in the zone and ends out the zone, it's lights out for him.
Thinking about, I mean, you've played the position. To see the performance, and it was masterful Saturday from Cade Anderson. And, you know, Gilbo and I were talking about this. I mean, he's not built like Paul Skeens. I mean, first time you meet Paul Skeens, you like, is he on the baseball team or does he play basketball? Because he's a big man. I mean, and he's filled out.
Now,
Cade is tall, but, man, he's thought of thin build, I guess, is the best word for it.
Yeah. So I tell you, so the difference, Cade Anderson, he is a different type of lefty. Most lefties you see, they all sink the ball and they slide it and they have a good changeup. Cade Anderson has a fastball that rides a little bit, right? So it doesn't. That's why he gets a lot of swing and misses. He gets a lot of guys to chase up in his zone, right? Because his ball doesn't sink like your typical left-handed pitcher, and so he's literally Coastal Carolina, like. You know, they'd won 26 in a row, but I can promise you they never faced a Cade Anderson in those 26 games. And as you see, good pitching beats good hitting.
Yep.
Probably 5% of the time. Now, what he did on that stage with the brightest lights, the most people he's ever pitched in front of, to go out there and throw 9 innings and do what he did, when I tell you that's incredible, that is absolutely incredible. I got chills thinking about it.
You and I know him pretty well, and so I'll ask you about the development. And I think the unsung hero here at LSU is Nate Yeske and what he's done with his staff and a lot of young guys this year. But I'll ask you about the future for Jacob Myers, and what do you think will happen there?
So Jacob's another interesting one, because I would like to see Jacob come back next year and kind of build on
me too.
Success, you know, but I'll be honest, there are going to be a lot of pro teams that are going to love his metrics. He's 6'6", probably, if he's not, he's 6'5 and a half. He's up to touching 100. His metrics are off the board. His fastball spin rate is as good as anybody in the major leagues. So somebody may take a chance and say, hey, here's $300,000-$500,000. Let's bring you in and try to fix you. Or they might not. They may say, hey, let's let this kid go back one more year, because maybe that'll be better for everybody. So I'm on the fence. You know what I mean? I'd like to see him come back, because I think next year, he's got some jitters out. Obviously, he pitched in the World Series. He got a win. That's going to help. But towards the end of the year, I saw the Jacob Myers that I saw his freshman year at Nichols, where when he went on the mound, he knew, like, hey, I'm going to get guys out. And he did for the last 3 or 4 outings of the year.
Nate Yeske and what he does. I mean, you were close to a lot of pitching coaches being your position. But what he's done with this staff, and, yeah, you can say, well, he's got Ianson and he's got Cade Anderson. Okay, two great talents. But you look at the other guys, they're either coming off an injury or really young. That to me, he did a really masterful job handling the pitching staff this year.
Yeah, Nate is one of the best in the country. You know, some people had given him some grief when he first got here. But hey, sometimes it takes time to get in, implement your system. Every pitching coach has their system. You know, he's not Brown, you know, Wes Brown, the coach, pitching coach before him. Everybody's got a different implementation of how they want their pitching staff to work and throw and train and all that stuff. And I'll be honest, I mean, who was Cade Anderson last year? He was a guy that couldn't pitch in SEC. I mean, he killed Nichols, he killed McNeese, he killed ULL. But hey, this year the guy has a chance to be the first pick of the draft. Now, he might not be, because of Jackson Holliday's brother Ethan, because the Holliday lineage of his dad, his brother, and him. So Ethan Holliday still may be the first pick, but that's only going off the lineage, right? Cade Anderson is going to be the first college pitcher off the board. So if he doesn't go 1-1, he's going to go 1-2. The Angels aren't letting him get past him. I'll be shocked. But that's Nate Yeske. You know, Nate Yeske took him from A to B to C to D, which is dominant. You know what I mean? Anthony Ianson, when he got here this early in the year, he was good, but he's so much better at the end of the year. That's all Nate Yeske. That's the program he's got at LSU. But he's done it for years. I mean, he's been the assistant coach of the year, top pitching coach in the nation, you know. And he's Jay's guy. Him and Jay go way, way back, and Jay believes in him. And when somebody believes in you, you can go out and do your job and not look over your shoulder thinking somebody's questioning you. And that's that's what he has with Jay Johnson in the dugout. He lets Nate Yeske run his pitching staff, and he lets him teach him, and he lets him thrive.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Scott, I think there's a false narrative some people put out there that this wasn't, say, a super talented team. Come on. When you got people like Ianson and Anderson and Shores and Jared Jones, okay, all those guys are playing in the majors. This was a talented team, and there's a lot of teams that do have some talent and maybe could match, I thought, Arkansas. We talked about this before. Overall, they may have been the most talented team, but it was the way Jay Johnson was able to get this team to play as a group, as heart and grit and teamwork all around it. It's because it really is the ultimate team sport. It's about individual performances, but it's about a team sport. How he was able to mix a good blend of veteran talent and young talent coming into the program, he did a masterful job this year.
He sure did. You know, people say that because there was no Tommy Tanks, there was no Dylan, no Skeens, right? But guess what? These guys put up those type of numbers, right? Even though they weren't that name, and that's why people say that. But let me tell you, what Jay did this year was incredible. You know, he had 12 returning players. He literally ran off so many guys from last year's team. And, you know, i.e. in football recruiting, which would be called five-star prospects, he ran off three or four of those because they were bad characters in the clubhouse. If Jay Johnson may never tell you, but last year was probably his worst year of coaching, meaning like he was miserable because the clubhouse got lost, right? He lost the clubhouse because they had some bad apples in there, and that's the worst feeling as a coach because nothing you can do to turn that around, right? The only way you can turn around is you get rid of the bad apples. That's what he did. He had 12 returning players, brought in 12 guys from the portal, two JUCO kids and 10 freshmen. And guess what he did? He told them, we're going to be a team. And guys bought in. And obviously they got off to a hot start. Winning helps, right? They had a good fall. They had a good start to the spring. And it steamrolled. They were a locomotive heading down the train, and nobody better get in the way, because if you got in the way, you were getting run over. But he did an amazing job. He pieced together. He took 1,000 pieces of jigsaw puzzles. He put all 1,000 pieces together and put a portrait together, a masterpiece.
Other than the pitching staff, and we've talked about it before, they've got some really good young talent coming back in the pitching department. Who are some of the other guys that you are looking for, young talent that they were brought in? Now, not everybody's Curiel now to what he did, but that you think can really elevate their level in 2026 for LSU?
So I think number one is going to be Cater and Beattie, the catcher. You know, obviously Hernandez, I'm pretty sure he's out of – I don't know if he has a coach here or something, but I'm pretty sure he's out of eligibility as far as I know. But I think Cade is going to be one. I also look forward to John Pearson, you know, Josh's little brother. He reminds me of maybe the next time he tanks. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to step in next year. You know, and obviously they have some returners, but I can promise you, I do know they got a shortstop out from Calton, California. Last name of Young. I don't know if he's going to make it to campus, but if he does, he's electric. He's about the top. He's in the top between 30 and 35 draft picks. Two of his uncles both played in the major league. So don't know if he's going to step on campus, but if he does, look out. He's going to be a difference maker. But Jay, the one thing about Jay, he lines up and I promise you, he's going to have three or four portal guys, you know, but there's not, the way I look at it, you know, there's not a ton of guys that didn't really – he used so many guys this year, you know. So guys that didn't get a ton of playing time, those are the two that I could really say I think they're going to step up next year and play a big role.
I've heard you talk about a Beattie before. So what jumps out about him to you as not only a catcher but also his ability to swing the bat?
Well, he's got a great arm. He handles pitchers well. He was an 18-year-old kid coming into college, and now he's probably 19. He'll maybe be 20 next year. But he was the top player in Texas last year coming out of high school. When you say that, you can play. I mean, you're not the Texas Player of the Year by luck, you know what I mean? So, but he just has all the skills. He's got pop in his bat. You know, he has some pretty good play discipline. And he really handled, to me, I thought as a freshman, when he did get the catch, I thought he really helped, you know, he really handled the pitching staff really, really well. And I really look forward to him. I think, obviously, I think Jason will go out and get probably a veteran catcher out the portal, you know, to supplement him, because you can't just put all your eggs in one basket. But I'd like to see him get, you know, a chance to win that job and, you know, catch Fridays and Saturdays and maybe take Sundays off.
You saw what happened yesterday early. You had two guys get tossed coaching-wise, the first base coach and the head coach for Coastal Carolina. I thought maybe the ump, he got a little bit of the yips at that moment, so to speak. And sometimes you got to understand the moment that you're in with everything. You've been, you know, on that side too. You've managed in some different situations. So your thoughts on what happened early in that game with Coastal Carolina with their head coach and also their first base coach?
Well, I'll be honest. I was watching the game, and the first time he called the first high curveball, I was like, ooh, okay. Strike. Well, that's a strike. Okay, maybe not. He called a second one. He called a third one. And I thought to myself, mm-mm, if this guy calls this pitch all night for Anthony Aronson, these boys in that dugout are screwed, you know? So Angel Campos, not sure if you know, but he has 7 years of Major League base, umpire experience. This guy's not just some spring chicken. But if you do research on him, it'll tell you he's got a hot head and he's quick to throw people out. The problem with Kevin Schnall made the problem, and people that don't play professional baseball or high-end college baseball, an umpire, you can walk up and talk to an umpire as much as you want. Most of the time when coaches go out, when they want to get thrown out, they're going to make a scene, right? But Kevin Schnall, when he put three fingers up in the air to tell him that he missed three pitches, I knew right when he did that, I told myself, he's gone. Sure enough, quick as can be. Because now there's 25,000 people in the stands and there's 15 million watching at home that now know he's arguing balls and strikes, which you cannot do. You cannot argue balls and strikes. You can go out and talk about balls and strikes, but you can't argue it. If Snow just walks out there and says, hey, talk to me. Who's getting a warning? Oh, it's your first base coach. Okay, great. Listen, I got a quick question. Those curveballs to me look high. Is that going to be the strike zone the rest of the night? Because if it is, I got to tell my guys to swing at it. And you know what the guy would say? Like, hey, listen, man, I'm not going to lie to you. It's a little early. One was questionable. I thought two were strikes. But, hey, I'm going to try to get it down. Now you walk back to the dugout. I don't know if you know, but Schnell's got a little. He's got a little quick temper too. So he had two quick guys that lined up, and guess what? Schnell found out who's the boss very quick, right? Angel Campos showed him quick. Like, you're not going to show me up in front of 25,000 in this stadium and 15 million watching at home. Take the bus, buddy, and that's what he did. And you know what? That to me, that's on Schnell. Biggest game of his life. This guy's been an assistant coach for 20 some years. And he literally let his team down, in my opinion, because he lost what he had. But listen, their team plays like the way they play because of him. And, you know, sometimes you can't back it down. But I'm telling you right now, if he doesn't throw three fingers up, he doesn't get kicked out. I can promise you that.
He's got a little bit of Tony V in him from Tennessee, doesn't he?
Oh, he's got a lot of Tony. I think he might be worse than Tony V. I'll be honest. I think he might. Tony V is really suave about it, but he gets a hot head. But this guy, he looks like a middle linebacker. Obviously, you know his dad coached for the Giants. So
yes,
this guy's got a little football background in him, I'm sure. And he went out there looking like it. He looked like a linebacker trying to take a punter out. That's what he looked like to me. You know what I mean?
That's a great line, Scott. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. We'll try to get you back once the draft starts to kind of get real close and kind of get us a rundown on everything. And you went through it with Cam and sort of the decision-making process when you're not maybe necessarily going to be a first-round pick or a second-round pick and the kind of money that you're looking for. So, man, we'd love to have you come back on and talk to us about that.
For sure. Let me know. Thanks for everything this year, guys. It's been amazing. It's always fun to end with a natty. So go Tigers.
There you go. Thank you, Scott. Man, we appreciate it. Scott Sanders does a great job with us each and every time he's on with us on Sports Talk on the Big 8-7.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.